This is Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna. We'll start today with the plan in Worcester for a new baseball stadium, which, if built, could become the most expensive minor league park ever in America. The city is prepared to take on more than $100 million of debt to pay for the pending Worcester Red Sox Stadium, and much of that bill could go to the taxpayers. But Worcester officials say the project will create more than 500 permanent jobs and will pay for itself in economic growth. WBUR Bostonomics reporter Callum Borchers has been following this story, and he joins me now. Hi, Callum.
Hi, Jamie.
So, first, the city plans to borrow as much as that $100.8 million in bond debt. Give us a sense of just how much that number really is and what it means.
Well, as you said, it would be the most expensive in raw numbers for a minor league baseball park. I believe the third most if you adjust for inflation, but it's big. And it also, by the way, does not include $35 million from the state to pay for infrastructure around the park. So the whole project is really rather expensive. To give you a comp, the newest AAA stadium right now is in Nashville. Mm-hmm. It opened in 2015. That city borrowed $65 million for that. The final cost after overruns was $91 million, according to an audit. So these things can get pricey.
Wow. And so why is the price tag for the stadium in Worcester so high?
Couple things. The city says that the stadium will be, quote, state-of-the-art and technologically sophisticated. You don't get descriptors like that on the cheap. Also keep in mind that the estimate for the ballpark itself is about $86 million, but there's some extra cost, including cleanup on the stadium site, which is a former factory. It's a brownfield. There's already been some remediation, but probably more cleanup needed, too.
So, Callum, in your reporting, what are you hearing from the city about who would pay for this new stadium? I'm seeing that it could be called Polar Park, named for the beverage company that's based out there in Worcester. How are they breaking down the financing?
Yeah, the naming rights is probably a small amount. We don't know the details of that yet. The Polar CEO said that his licensing fee was equivalent to a nice house, whatever that means. But it's, but
nice
it's not
nine
figures.
A nice house in Brookline.
Right. But the city is going to issue bonds up to that $100.8 million. The team is kicking in $6 million up front for the ballpark, and then their annual rent will be about $1 million a year. So call it 36 for the team over the life of the the rent.
So just for comparison's sake, I was reading that Rhode Island had offered the team $38 million to stay in Pawtucket and you know, build a new stadium there. We actually have some tape here from the governor of Rhode Island, Gina Raimondo, yesterday, and she was saying that in the end, she decided that the state couldn't offer more because she had to look out for that state's taxpayers.
The Paw Sox belong in Pawtucket, but we have to protect the taxpayers. And the deal that Worcester has in front of them, over $100 million, would not have been responsible for us to try to compete with.
So, Callum, I guess my question out of that is, $100 million is a sixth of Worcester's city budget annually. Is this investment going to be worth it for the city?
Well, the city council seems to think it will be. I was at their meeting on Tuesday. This was the first time they had gathered since the deal was announced on Friday. And the prevailing sentiment was clear. Although they have to send this to committee and they won't vote until next month at the earliest, this looks like it is going to pass. Most of the residents who spoke during the public comment period were also supportive. But there are certainly some concerns among some residents who spoke. And I've also reported this morning on some of the other cities that have recently built AAA ballparks, and their experiences have been mixed. In some cases, the revenue generated by these ballparks and surrounding development isn't covering the debt that they have to pay every year.
So what's different about this stadium than some of those other cities?
Well, one of the differences is just the nature of the competition, I think, that you had between Worcester and Pawtucket. And that's one of the driving forces. You know, some folks are saying, well, you know, how come, you know, Larry Lucchino and this wealthy ownership group doesn't just pay for the whole thing?
Right.
Well, I think the simple answer is, you know, it's business. And why would they? Right. Who says no to free money? This is a team that's desirable enough that they were able to get two cities into a bidding war.
But it's free money out of the taxpayers' pockets, potentially. So, Callum, as you mentioned, you've been reporting in Worcester and you've been talking to business owners and residents. What are you hearing from the people of Worcester?
Mostly excitement. I've spoken with Gene Zabinski, who heads the Canal District Alliance. That's the business group in the neighborhood where the ballpark would go. He organized a postcard campaign to try to bring the Woo Sox to town in the first place, so he is just over the moon about this news. But, you know, some other individual business owners are a little bit more skeptical. I kind of did the cliche thing the other night. I went to a barber shop and said, what's going on in the barber shop in the Canal District, and spoke with my barber, Victor. Good job, by the way, if you're listening.
Looking great.
Runs the shop with its brother. And, you know, he's pretty skeptical about the price tag. You know, his feeling is, look, the Canal District is on the upswing anyway. We're doing just fine. We don't need a big project that's subsidized.
So tell me a little bit more about the Canal District for our listeners who might not know about it.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a misnomer in the sense that the canal is not exposed. I was speaking with a bar owner last week there who was describing having to tell some very disappointed British tourists that there was no canal to go see. That same bar owner kind of describes the neighborhood as kind of akin to like a Somerville or an Alston for our Boston listeners. Now, it's not quite there yet. It's not as gentrified as Somerville and Alston are, but it's kind of got that sort of hip feel to it, I would say.
Gotcha. Well, Callum, stand by for just a second here, because I want to bring into this conversation two more voices. Victor Matheson is a professor of economics at the College of Holy Cross in Worcester. Professor Matheson, welcome to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Also on the line is Smith College economics professor and a consultant to the city of Worcester, Andrew Zimbalist. He's the author of a number of books, including Circus Maximus, the economic gamble behind hosting the Olympics and the World Cup. Professor Zimbalist, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jamie. Good to be with you.
So I actually want to start with you here, Professor Zimbalist, because you say this is a great move for the city, but $100 million sounds like a lot of money. So why do you think this is the right way to go?
I do think it's the right way to go. I don't think I ever said it was a great move by the city. And I'm not sure it's important to correct your reporter, but there was a lot of inaccuracy in what he just said. In any event, I think what makes this project stand out from a financial point of view is that Dennis Dowdle, who runs Madison Properties, has been a very successful real estate developer in eastern Massachusetts for several decades, is committing $90 million of investment to build two hotels, to build somewhere between 225 to 250 residences, to build out retail space, to build two restaurants. And all of that is going to generate property tax income, local option sales tax income, and other income, so that the total amount of income that gets generated by the project will be more than enough to cover the $70 million in debt that the city will take on. $30 million of the debt will be paid for. The debt service will be paid for by the team.
So, Callum, help me out here, because I got a lot of numbers. I got the $90 million here set aside for this retail space that Professor Zimbalist is talking about, and then $70 million in debt, $30 million. Help me out.
Well, I think what Andrew is doing is he's counting the $30 million that the team is going to pay in the annual rent for the stadium toward the total $100.8 million that the city is going to issue bonds for. So the net there, you could say, is about 70. I think that that's what the professor is saying. Is that right, Andrew?
It's correct, but it's not correct that we're offering $100.8 million. We're getting authorization to issue that amount. We might have to issue about $4 million less than that, because the 100.8 will only be borrowed if the cost of working around a conduit that's underground come to $4 million. But some people are estimating that there won't be any net cost from that. So we're getting authorization for 100.8, but there's a good chance that we'll borrow somewhere in the neighborhood of 96. It's also the case that the rent that the Sox will be paying is going to be $1.32 million in the first year, but it grows at 2.25% per year throughout the 30-year lease.
So, Professor Zimbalist, in the past, we've had you on the show to talk about Boston's failed Olympic bid. At the time, it wasn't a failed bid, but you've been critical of some of these publicly funded sports facilities in the past. So what makes this deal different?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, there's an immense difference between building a park for a particular team that's going to be in the city for 30 years and become part of the cultural and social fabric of the city. And building 35 or 40 venues, or modernizing 35 to 40 venues for a 17-day party called the Olympics. One of the large problems with hosting the Olympics is not only are you building so many venues, and you're building an Olympic Village and a media village and an international broadcasting center, and all of that costs billions of dollars, but after it's all built, the people who are using it go away. And what are you going to do with these white elephants that are there taking up hundreds of acres of scarce urban real estate? So it's a very different phenomenon. Having said that, the economic studies that have been done, the scholarly work that's been done on stadiums and arenas suggests that the typical stadium or arena does not promote economic development. It's also the case that a typical arena or stadium doesn't have committed ancillary development. Sometimes they talk about ancillary development, but it's on an aspirational level rather
right.
than a committed level. So here we have over 90 million. There's also, as you suggested, somewhere in the neighborhood of $45 to $50 million in state money that's going to be put to modernizing and improving the infrastructure in the Canal District,
which the Canal District needs anyway. Professor
yes.
Victor Matheson of the College of the Holy Cross, I want to give you a chance to take a swing at this. What are your concerns?
So I think I agree with Andy on a lot of these things, and I think a lot of what he's done for Worcester has been to provide an economic report that isn't wildly optimistic. But my big concern here is about this ancillary development to pay for the stadium. As you heard from your barber yesterday, as we actually hear from the developer himself, that you know we know this district is up and coming. We know that there is lots of current investment going into that area. We know that developer was interested in building there anyway. And so the question is, how much of this investment are we getting because of the stadium, or how much are we getting that we would have gotten anyway, but now we're committed to putting all the money from that new investment towards the stadium rather than towards the general budget in Worcester.
Right.
On top of this, what we also have is, we are also not looking at the other side of the coin. You know, typically when you have a new housing development come in, you say, well, yeah, we're going to collect property taxes from that, and that's going to be great. On the other hand, we have huge amounts of expenses that go out as well. You don't have to put many kids in that 250-person housing development who are going to Worcester Public Schools before you eat up any sort of projected surplus from the tax revenue from this project.
Professor Zimbalist, what's your response to that?
Well, I think that theoretically, Victor and I agree on all of this stuff. The problem I have with the specific argument that Victor is applying to Worcester is that he's not looking at the details. There's no rigorous estimates about how much money would come anyway. He cited Dennis Dowdle. Dowdle said that he was looking to make some investment there sometime in the future. Now he's got a very large investment that's going to happen right away. So maybe there would be development by 2025. Maybe it'd be 2030. Maybe the development that would happen would be smaller. I think there are a lot of questions. So to some degree, it's pie in the sky. And with regard to city services, sure, there'll be some children living there. So what we need to do, if we want to be precise and rigorous about this, is look at the number of children, or estimate the number of children, look at the neighborhood grade school, look at the neighborhood middle school, look at the high school, look at the average class size. If you add two or three kids to a second grade class and two or three kids to a third grade class, the marginal cost of doing that could be pretty close to zero.
Right.
Now, on the other hand, if the numbers are larger, maybe then you have to build another school. Maybe then you have to hire some more teachers. But just to throw it out and say, as Victor just did, that it's going to absorb the entire surplus, I'm projecting a net present value surplus for the 30 years of this program of $14 million. I'd like to see some real serious work, not just throwing out some ideas. I think that Victor's concerns are fine. And look, nobody's claiming here that this particular project is the project in Worcester, the single project in Worcester that will have the highest return in terms of job creation and lifting per capita income. I'm certainly not claiming that. I think that what one of the things that's happening here is the city of Worcester is investing in order to get a baseball team, a AAA baseball team of the beloved Red Sox who are nearby. So there's a social and cultural benefit here that's very appreciable.
Absolutely, but Professor Zimbalist, if I may, I mean, this we are talking about a lot of money here and an impact on a lot of people's businesses and lives. And so, yes, right. We're at the early stages, so a lot of the details may not have been hammered out yet. But Callum Borchers, what's your final word here? We're running low on time, unfortunately.
I'm just going to add to what the professor said, that there is clearly a worry among the Worcester City Council based on the meeting they had earlier this week that if this project did not come through, that the vacant lot will be vacant for another 1, 2, 3 decades.
And it's already been vacant for 20 years,
yes,
right?
Yes, they're clearly very concerned about that, and I think that's one of the reasons why they're so enthused about this idea.
Well, we're not going to give up on this conversation. We're going to keep following it. So WBUR Bostonomics reporter Callum Borchers, thank you so much.
Great to be with you.
Professor Victor Matheson is a professor of economics at the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester. Thanks to you.
Thank you for having me. It's a delight to be with you here with you and Andy.
Great, thanks. And Professor Zimbalist, he's an economics professor at Smith College and a consultant for the city of Worcester. Professor, great to have you as well.
Always good to be with you guys and with Victor.
Thanks. This is Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna. We'll be right back.